As we open our Sunday school time, you might want to turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians. And in our coming, as we are studying, have been studying, looking at, seeking to understand the book of Hebrews, and God is an awesome Savior, but in order to enjoy God's saving and what God is doing and what God will do, the book of Hebrews comes along to help us to see so that we could understand. It's a wonderful thing to say, I know him as my Savior, but we need to understand, what is he saving you from? Why is he saving you? How is he saving you? And that's the book of Hebrews. So, and we shared together that God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, he died on the cross for everybody before the foundation of the world. And everyone that's born physically has the right to know him as Lord and Savior, to be saved. And therefore, to know him and honor him, and therefore, everyone should know God born. Everyone physical, every person born physically on planet Earth is supposed to be saved in a most wonderful way. But that doesn't happen. And in Romans chapter 1, we're told that God is the one who initiates the contact to the little baby growing up. He initiates the contact. He's the one doing. That isn't their parents. It isn't the system. It's God dealing with a human heart that he brought into the world. And therefore, God's dealing with that heart. He wants the little heart to know him. Now they grow, but so everyone knows. Now, why? What happens if everyone knows and only so few know? Why is that? And so therefore, here's the religious systems with all their gods sliding into down the corridor of time. We come to where we are, to a materialism, secularism, and we're coming to where we are, where the World Council of Churches and Islam and Hinduism and Confucianism, but pantheism, but when we're all done, we don't have the gods that we used to have, that the world had. We have a moving system headed to where it's going, to the man of sin, where all religions are put aside. Revelation 17, 18, all religions are removed. Just him. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so in Hebrews we're trying to look at and remind ourselves that everyone should be able to know the Lord. Again, everyone has their own background. I was raised up in Boston area, and Methodist Church and Methodism, traditional. But it wasn't a big thing. It wasn't even promoted. We need to know him as our Lord and Savior. That may have been understood by somebody, but not very much. Now, so what we have to do? What do people do in our day when it's absent? The light is not on. The influence is missing. The example is missing. What do? God, are you able to reach us and help us? Now, it's encouragement for you. No one told me, except my little Sunday school teacher once, way back, many, many, many years ago, told me, and I knew the Lord as my Savior, etc. In spite of it. And so my whole journey, I had to seek God. The system was missing. And so God, can the individual in the middle of the Sahara Desert get to God? Can the person in the middle of New York City come to know the Lord in the midst of whatever system? Yes. So now, God, how is that so? Because we are to be followers. And just so you see it again and keep it in mind, it's very important that if you want to know God, you need to seek Him and you need to follow Him. That's the rule. If you don't understand that or you don't do that, it'll never happen. Never happen. You have to want to do and have what maybe no one else around you does. You may want to know Him in spite of everything and everyone. And when you want that, you'll find God. If you seek God with what? If you seek God with all your heart, you will find Him. Not with half a heart, with all your heart. Now, having said that, so a quick little exercise as we begin to keep going. First Thessalonians, looking at our word. Here's the Apostle Paul. God chose him along with Peter, James, and John. And Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's God's choice. So therefore, follow him. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 6. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Ghost. Here's the believers, Paul and Silas and Timothy, all running. And what are they doing? They're following the Lord. They're following God and His word. That's what they're doing. So they're followers. And the encouragement is the Thessalonians to follow. Chapter 2, remember we added, chapter 2, verse 14. And ye, brethren, became followers, there's your word, of the churches. And remember, we reminded ourselves, all New Testament churches are the same. There's no such thing as what we have today. They all were the same, whether you went to Antioch, Jerusalem, Corinth, Thessalonica, wouldn't make any difference where you went. They're all the same. All the same. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, again, verse 14. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, do it again, a little different way, over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 4, it's all over, just giving it little samples of it to remind ourselves. Chapter 4, and in verse 16. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul's able to say that. Follow me and you'll get to God. Follow me. If you follow me, you'll get to God. That's a big question. If I follow you, do I get to God? Now, so having said that, in chapter 4, verse 16, go over now to chapter 11. And you'll remember, chapter 11, and in verse 1, be followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. I'm following Christ, so follow me. Paul could say that safely because he's following our Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of it. He's following. So remember what we said, you don't see the face, you see the back. You're following a follower. The followers are following the follower. Going in the same direction, looking to the same person, our Lord himself. That's what we're doing. If there's no one in front of me, I'm going to look to God. If there's no one around me, I'm going to look to God. If I have an example in front of me, wonderful. And remember now, you may not remember, but if you go back far enough in time, you would remember here not that many years ago, a few years ago, there were lots. In New England, we had a conference way back in the years ago, in the 60s and that, 50s, 60s. And we out west, you had lots of churches. You could go to them. They're there, fundamental, evangelical, at least something. You won't find them today. You won't find them. Go to Southern California, you won't find them. Here's the big list, you remember? You won't find them. In New England, you won't find them. You won't find them. We don't have them. They're all gone. So therefore, we may not find around us, but we're going to be looking. So here's Paul. Paul says, follow me. But he can only say that because he's following Christ. He's looking. Having said that, so we make it stamp that, Ephesians in chapter 5. And you will note in Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So that's a straight way. Follow God. How are we going to follow God? In the person of Christ. That's how I'm going to get there. And if we, et cetera. No, we're looking to God. We're going to follow our Lord. That's what we're going to do. Now, God, are you going to confirm that? God, you're going to confirm that. Follow you. Okay. Now, over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, if I may, in chapter 2, as you would know, 1 Peter chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 21, directly. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, dying on the cross, leaving us an example. What for? That we should follow his steps. Can't do wrong. Gotta look to God. If you don't look to God, most people are looking, they're counting on what? If I go to the, whatever it is, I'm counting on that system, Catholicism, whatever you want, Protestant, whatever you want to do. We join the club, we join the thing, and we assume we join the whatever, wherever the people are going, whatever, and to the extent we want to go where they're going and think what they think, you know, we go with them. And the average person going to the average religious system is really not that committed. All the people, as we shared it, all the people that bow down by the thousands to Mecca, by the thousands, down they go. Do you think they understand the Quran? Do you think they understand what it means and why they, no, they don't. No, they don't need to. You're part of the group. All you want to do is be in the group. That's why you have to push for lots of people. Because if there's only two people over here, and you want me to join two people, where are they going? Two people. Over here's 100 people. Wow. They must have something.
Didn't get that.
Restaurant. Here's the restaurant. Here's the diner. Joe's, not Joe's. Here's the diner out there. And the diner's there. And you go by it frequently. And you never see anything more than the car or the owner in that diner, at diner, and the cook. That's what you see. Now, are you prone to go to that diner to eat and say what a wonderful diner it is? Well, no one else go. But if you go down the street over here, and here's another place, and the cars are lined up, and you're looking for a parking space, ah, the food must be good, because the people are there. See? That's what we do. That's the extent of our interest. Are we interested in details and understanding? Where on earth is this going to take me? And why? We don't do that. That's going to help us in a minute. Now, I did that a little bit to remind you. You've got to be a follower. You've got to follow our Lord. How am I going to follow our Lord? The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to take you in Christ down the corridor of time all the way home. That's why you're a follower. And you're looking to God and His Word to get you there. Now, if you got that part a little bit, I'm just telling you where most people are, even in Protestant fundamentalism. They're just not there. And if you're looking to get an example and be encouraged, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. It's a system. We're used to it. And we like it. We like it. It allows me to pay my churchy dues on a Sunday or whatever, confession, and I'm done. I'm free. Free to do whatever I want. And you know that when I was a boy, I was mostly in a Roman Catholic system, Roman Catholic Church, right around the corner. All the people in my street, remember, lots of people. I'm in the middle of a big city with lots of children, lots of people, and a Roman Catholic. And they would go, and they would go on, especially on Friday night, we were going to go do whatever, and they'd all have to stop at church. To St. Clemens, to go in and confess and do whatever they did. And they all did whatever they did and it came out. And then they went and did whatever they were going to do. That's what they did. You know, and I used to sit outside on the steps waiting for them all to finish and come out. And then we'd go somewhere and do whatever. And that's what they did. You know, how much did they get to God? Did they think about God? No, they were abusing the system, counting on the system to be their future. And in the meanwhile, everyone could do that which they want to do in their own eyes. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, and interesting enough, when they would walk by the Methodist church, the house by the side of the road, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote that poem. And that's the Methodist church I went to. The house by the side of the road. It was the largest Methodist church in New England, I think, at the time. No one's in it, but it's large. Big building. Big building. It was there. And then we used to walk down, go down the street, and go down, and they'd all, and that's where I went to church. And so I said, that's where I go to church. And they said, no, they all walked away, see. At least I sat on the steps of the Catholic Church, you see. Now, having said that, with that in mind, Hebrews 13. Hebrews and 13. Now, God, you got to tell me after I just thought about it, Try to think about it for a minute. Now, God, you got to help me because I'm living in a very different, I don't have a clear journey, a clear path down the corridor of time. God, I don't see a lot of examples. I don't see a lot of biblical, healthy, holy, happy people that are believers. I don't see a lot of them. And so, God, help me. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Who are you looking to? Remember our Lord, Ephesians 5:1, be looking to followers of imitators of God. 1 Peter 2:21, the Lord leaves us an example, follow in his steps. God, what are you saying? Be looking to God. He didn't ask me to look, or didn't ask you to look at us humans. He said, be looking to God. Peter died, Paul is going to die. Paul is dead now, Paul. And all of them, they're all gone. We had the conference, the people came, literally, conference, and all those men that came died. They all died. We look out to find them. We can't find a couple. But of all the years, with a big list we used to have, you don't find them. They're all dead. Wow. Now, so having said that, what are we supposed to do, God? God never said to count on human flesh. God never said to count on Paul. God never said to count on Peter. Count on God. That's what you're doing. Be followers of God. And therefore, they all die. They were wonderful people, wonderful things. And for example, they're all dead. We can't follow them. Yes, that's true. But God isn't dead. And they were following God, and I took them. You are still following God, right? You're still following God. And God isn't going away. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't go away. Abraham is going to disappear. Moses is going to disappear. David's going to disappear. God isn't going to disappear. Joshua could never say, well, Moses is dead, Joshua chapter 1. Yes, he is, but God isn't. God isn't dead. That's the whole point. The Bible is still the same in your hands. The truth is still the same. You can't say, well, no one, hold it. God and his word are the same. So you have no excuse. And so therefore, God, you're helping us, yes. Helping the believers back then that are caught up in Judaism. They're caught up in it. They didn't need to be because God's going to help them. So don't be following the wrong things in the wrong way. Don't be doing that. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, God, when you helped Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all of them, Abraham, God, Isaac, Jacob, God, Moses, God. But now, God, you're going to be, going to help the people more than Abraham, yep, more than Isaac, yep. I'm going to give them another exercise of my wonderful person and my presence. Exodus and chapter 6. Exodus and chapter 6. And in Exodus 6, you would recall, If I can. Exodus 6, picking up, please. He was known as God, Elohim, God, and Adonai, God, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, there. But you don't read that. With Abraham, look to God. Abraham, Isaac, look to God. But Israel is now given the specialness of God in order to help them. Personally, Abraham didn't need it, and Jacob didn't need it, and Moses don't need it in that sense, but the people do. Chapter 6, picking up in please, verse 3. And I appeared unto Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Wow, but by my name, Jehovah, Yahweh, was I not known to them. I didn't use that name. They didn't use that name. That doesn't mean they didn't know it, or that it isn't to be found. They just didn't do that. I'm going to help you now, God said. I want the people to look to me and understand that I am Jehovah, Yahweh. What does that mean? I'm going to personalize Elohim. I'm going to personalize Adonai, God, the Lord. I'm going to go and personalize it to help you understand. Therefore, verse 4, I have established also my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. I have remembered my covenant, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Therefore, say unto the children of Israel, what are you going to tell them that's going to be wonderful? I am the Lord, Jehovah. That's the word back up in verse 3. Being capital, L-O-R-D, capital. I am Jehovah, the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the bondage burdens of the Egyptians. 2, I will rid you out of their bondage. 3, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Verse 7, 4. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord, Jehovah your God, your Elohim, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That's what I'm going to do. And, verse 8, I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. How so? I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. I'm telling you. How did you say it to us, God? God sent his son, and God stands before us. You are going to approach God in the person of Christ. You're going to ask whatever you ask in Jesus' name. Here's Exodus 3. They're going to look to God in a personal way, and God's going to be very personal to them. Now, having said that, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, God having said he always is the same, always is the same. He's the same Lamb that's slain from the foundation of the world. He's the same Lord. He's the same life. He's the same love. He's all of those things all the time, all at once. And how do we approach that? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he two little words, He is. Underline. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. Back to Exodus 3. I am who I am. I am who I am. That's who you tell the Egyptians and the Israelites. You tell them my name. I am who I am. He is. He is. He wonderfully, wonderfully is. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, back over to Hebrews. Then in Hebrews, if I can, now God's going to lock that in another step so you see it. So we can't ever say, I don't know the way, God doesn't care. You can never, 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 never say that. Just can't say that. Because God is, if anyone understands our little human heart, God does. If God ever understands all we're up against externally and internally, it's on all against you, God. But God can get us. You know, before I do, hold your finger here in Hebrews, over to Acts 17. You know it. And here's the Athenians. And you remember, here's Athens, full of gods, full of religion, full of their gods back then. Acts 17, verse 18. Then certain of the philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, this is Paul, and said, what will this babbler say? In other words, what's Paul going to say to us? What will this babbler say? Some other. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And therefore, in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of the Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. All kinds of religious, this religion, that religion, who knows which one is right. Verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, your worshiping all these different gods, I found an altar, a little stone altar with the inscription, what was written on it, to the unknown God. To all the gods, we got them piled up out here, but we don't know all of them, so this is to the unknown one. And in verse 23 again, for as I passed by and beheld devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. I'm going to tell you about the God you don't know. And then you slide down to verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times of before appointed and the bounds of the habitation, where the Philistines live, where the Jebusites live, where Israel is, where Egypt is. I've determined all of that, said God. Verse 27, that purpose, that they should be seeking, present tense, the Lord. If indeed, they might feel with your hand, because you can't see. Well, keep reading, you can't see. That they might feel after him, to touch, to grope in the darkness, might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So the person in the middle of the woods, the person in the middle of the city, in the middle of the mess, can look to God, trying to find God. God said, he'll find me. He's trying. He's in the dark. He can't see. But if he will keep groping, he's going to find me. That's encouragement. And that's the encouragement you and I have. God's going to go and be God. A very personal, very wonderful, he's going to be God to us. Therefore, don't let anything in your brain or your heart or your family or your friends interfere with that relationship. God will override and outwork. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. That's the way it is. And that's what you do. In the middle of the bankruptcy, in the middle of nothing, and they'll be gone. They'll be gone. Now, what's the problem? Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 9. 13 and verse 9. And you will note, if I can. 13 and verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. In other words, I want you to, it's a wonderful, simple thing. Hang on. It's going to come out all right. So in the process, God said, seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. I'm always the same, always there, always there. And in the process, the trouble is, the people go, humans go, and they get tied up in trying to get to God, try to feel qualified for God, to feel good enough for God, whoever God is. I don't know, am I good enough? Am I doing the right thing? What do I need to do? It's all about me trying to do something to get to God, and not my understanding that God has come to get to me by way of Calvary's cross. God has come to get to me. I'm trying to get to God. So I have all these strange things carried about. You'll see in verse 9, with divers and strange doctrines. Now, to see the word carried about, interestingly enough, carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Now, having said that, slide over, if you can, to the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in Ephesians 4, and I'll go to verse 14 directly. I want carried about. Here I am, verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, with cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to be wait to deceive. They're playing dice, the word dice, to throw the dice with you. They're playing a game with us. Everyone carried about, carried. We're caught in the flow, the system, and we're carried down the corridor of time. And whether we like it or not, here we are at this point in history. 20 years ago, we were never here. How did we get here in this country? 20 years went by to bring us to where we are. We're carried. We're carried. The changing, everything's changing, moving. and we're carried. We're on the train, we can't get off. Can't get off. The train's going down the tracks. It has to go. Now what's God gonna do? Is the train gonna stop? No. Is the train gonna get sidetracked? No. No, the train's going right where it's headed. But God, we're on the train. True. But I want you to know, I'm going to empty the car before it gets very far. I'm going to empty the car. I'm going to take you out while the train's moving. I'm not going to do it with a helicopter and land. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take you out of that car. And the train's going to keep going without you where it's going. Now, having said that, every wind of doctrine, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, and therefore carried about, present tense, and it forbids in Hebrews 13, and Hebrews 13 again is the same, 13 if I can, verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, and therefore it forbids. It forbids the continuance. Stop being carried here and there with divers and strange doctrines, various changing colors. They're changing all the time, changing from one thing to another, changing to this, to that, and the system is gloomy. Why is it changing? Because none of it's real. None of it can last. Why can the Pope keep, his position, and here's the Pope. Now, here's the Roman Catholic Church 50 years ago. Roman Catholic Church, they believe such and such and such and such. But today, do they believe such and such and such? No. But he's the Pope, right? The Pope's supposed to represent God. But the Pope is representing the system. That's what he's doing. Protestantism came out of Catholicism years ago, Reformation. But remember, the umbilical cord was never broken. So the baby came out and out here, but the cord was never broken. We're caught up in the system. And Protestantism never could get, it got free a little bit here and there. And they call them cuckoo people. Committed believers that believed their baptism, and then they went further than that to believe the Bible, New Testament believers. You won't find much of that. You'll find groups as they tried to do that. Then back in our own founding, back in Wycliffe and all of that, Keswick and all of that, that's what we try to do at the conference. We try to what? Recover. The Keswick, the movement of the New Scofield Bible, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Romans chapter 6, all of those wonderful truths. We tried to get them years ago. That's what I pushed for. I did. No offense, nothing about me. But I pushed it because that's what I knew. That's what I knew. That's what it had to be. And we lost it. So we tried to get it. And that's what we try to do with the conference, to do that, to bring that influence to the churches of the New Testament truths, not traditional Methodism, Congregationalism, Baptist, no, to bring us back to New Testament truth. All the churches, what? Believed in a relationship to God in Christ in a most, most wonderful way. And we did that, and we tried. But what happened? We all keep dying. And dear Helgesons and all of them, Perry Rockwood, all those people, you know, they all disappear. They all die. And then we look out there, where are they? Just to have a conference, to have it. I know there's a couple, but in the process, they're all older and sick or died. And what you have is not what you're going to get. God bless them. But they don't have that. If you don't have a history of what I'm trying to tell you, you've never had the experience. So how can you help me understand it when you never had it? You can't tell me about it. You can tell me a wonderful truth about the Bible, but you can't tell me about that because you don't know it. And as far as you know, everything's like it is, and you just add the Bible to it. See, am I helping you a bit? I'm trying to get you to see the reality. You got to be looking to God. And here we are, just little nobodies. We're seeking to look to God. That's what we're trying to do, beyond anybody. We're trying to be, give God a little credit. So, having said that, verse 9, carried about by every wind of doctrine, every strange in doctrines, and 4, and all kinds of ways. And you know that, and you know it was, to take time. Remember now, if you were going to go easiest, quickest, 2 Corinthians. And verse 11. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and going to verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11, 4. I'll read verse 3 since it's important. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity, the single-heartedness, the plainness that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached, we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Sliding over, to if I can, verse 13. For which are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now that's sort of the awesome. They're going to go, and they're going to come along and duplicate, try to say, well, Peter was an apostle, and we're apostles. We're evangelists. We're whatever. We are pastors or whatever. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. But he's the prince of darkness. But he's going to come across as light. So we don't say, hang on, that'll help you in the morning. Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, servants, like in waiting at a table, servants, ministers, also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Deception. That's the way. What's he going to do? Deceive. He's going to take and twist everything around so that it doesn't look darkness, light, etc. We just don't see. We changed everything. And we're trained, we're raised like that. It's how we think. And without someone whacking us, giving us a slap or something, to wake up, well, hold it, is that true? And that, well, maybe it isn't true. See, maybe we're wrong, they're wrong. But we don't do that. We just sort of let it go without ever locking in. Is it right or wrong? We don't do that. We just let it exist. And then it changes form. So what we went after yesterday isn't there because now it's changed its shape and it's over here. And we can't see it. We can't fix it because it keeps changing its shape. So you can't get the dumb rascal. Divers and strange doctrines, they change. The devil is smart. Evil is smart. Evil is awesome. the devil and demons and the system, the world system. That's why we can't win. That's why it's so difficult to fix Washington. Because the bad guys can play the game like you would never believe. And that's why our Lord would say, be careful. The children are wiser than my children in this world. The children of the devil are wiser. Be careful. I got to quit, I think. You got the idea? I'm trying to help you get a sense of where we're at, and you can run with it. I got it. Got it. Anyway, thank you. So when Goliath steps onto the field, no problem. No problem. I don't care how big the giant is. God, you're bigger than any giant. Okay, thank you very, very, very much. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.